Good morning. It's good to see the good number that we have present with us today, and notice that we have a good number joining us on Facebook this morning for our worship, and we welcome them, and we're thankful for each and every one. Before we actually get into the lesson, I have a couple of announcements that I would like to make. The first one is not one that I really like making, but it's one that you should be aware of and you would want to be aware of. One thing that we need to notice before I say that is that we said we need to remember Shirley. Well, she's sitting right over there. I saw you come in this morning, Shirley, but I hadn't had a chance to get back to see you. Shirley's been absent for a few months, several weeks. She's had some health difficulties, and we're thankful she's well enough to be back with us. But the first announcement that I want to make is that my father had cold symptoms earlier this week and went to be tested on Thursday. They called him last night and told him that he tested positive. He is one of seven members at the Roseville, Lake Street Church of Christ in Roseville that have now tested positive for COVID. So small congregation, and so keep them in mind. Most of them have had very mild symptoms. My father, he went because he had a cold, and my sister said, maybe you ought to go and be tested, and so he was. And so I said, well, how are you feeling? Last night I asked him, how are you feeling now? And he says, I'm better now than I was when I went to be tested, so thankful for that. Another member had a headache. His symptoms were a headache, but there's three or four members that I'm told have had more severe symptoms. So I want to remember all of them in our prayers. And having said that, might say also that we, of course, need to be more alert than possibly we have been. I know we all get COVID fatigue, and I've kind of noticed that we've kind of let our guard down here a little bit. We're wearing our mask, but we're not really practicing social distancing inside the building like we should be. So we need to be maybe a little bit more alert to that and give this virus a little bit more respect than what we have been. The numbers for this week, the last several days, have been 100 or more incidences in Warren County, and that's what I pay attention to. And, you know, we've been concerned before when we've had incident rates of in the mid-20s to the mid-30s per day. And now we've got 100 or more. So something's going on. I've got a couple theories about what's going on, but I'll keep those to myself. But nevertheless, just be aware when you're here. Be aware when you're out in the marketplace, I guess you might say, pumping gas and that type of thing. Be sure to sanitize your hands afterwards and all of those kinds of things. Just be a little bit more alert. Okay, a couple other announcements. Received a phone call very late Thursday night from Tracy Wheeler, and she was very concerned and upset, and because she knew she wasn't living right, and she needed to make a change in her life. She needed to make a commitment in her life, and really a recommitment. Tracy, we've had Bible studies together a couple of years ago, really, and very knowledgeable about the church now. She's been, of course, attending here semi-regularly, I guess you might say, and here lately more regularly. Of course, she was a little bit concerned about her baptism. Said, I was baptized when I was young. And we've talked about that before. But I just wanted to be sure we had the story, that the story was the same and everything. So Saturday we met, Tracy and Keith and Debbie and I met out here underneath the carport, sat on some of our classroom chairs and so forth, and had a little study and talk and so forth, and finally got around to her baptism. And the story of her baptism is that she was baptized during basic training when she was in the Army. There was a congregation of the Lord's Church that came on base and had services for those who were in basic training primarily. And if you've never been in basic training, when you're in basic training, you don't leave base for the time that you're in basic training. So for anything, including services. So there was a congregation that came on base, actually, to hold service for whoever would like to, you know, come to services. And Tracy was one of those. And the last week of her basic training, they asked, is there anyone, of course, who, you know, you're about to leave us, is there anyone who wants to be baptized? And Tracy wanted to be baptized, so they were permitted to take her and some others, I guess, to the church building and to baptize them. So she was baptized for the remission of her sins back then. And she said, all I knew was I was lost and Jesus was my Savior, and I needed to be baptized to have my sins washed away by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his blood was shed to pay the price for my sin and death. And I said, well, you knew exactly what the people on the day of Pentecost knew. I said, the only difference between them and you is they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and you didn't. And she said, yep, that's right. And so she expressed very sincerely her repentance and her confession and her dedication and commitment to, from this day forward, walk in newness of life with Christ. It is her desire to be identified as a member here at the Southside Church of Christ, and of course we accept that and welcome her with open arms, because we can't close them around her, but we welcome her. And along with that, you might have noticed that for the past several weeks, we've had a young man visiting with us. If you haven't met him, his name is Cole Morris. He sits back here on the back pew. He's been working with Pax Burke, and actually, I think, living with the Burks, I guess, as well. I've known Cole since before there was a Cole. I know his great-grandparents, his grandparents, his parents, and Cole. And the whole family is very faithful and a supreme example of faith. And he desires to be recognized as a member of the congregation here as well. So we welcome you with open arms too, Cole. COVID or not, it'd probably be open. No, I'm just teasing. We're thankful for him, and he'll be a valuable asset to us. He's very talented in several areas. Am I missing anything? Okay. I've got the green light to go ahead now. So, once again, we're thankful for everyone this morning. Well, of course, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. In spite of the efforts of many people to try to cancel it seems like we're going to have Thanksgiving one way or another. It's a day that we're going to remember to give thanks, and it's an interesting story, the history of Thanksgiving. I'm not going to get into that, but I do want to get into the subject of in everything give thanks, and talk about some ways that we can give thanks. A few passages to consider here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious, or don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication is a intensified form of prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I've always tried to impress upon people when we look at this verse that I'm impressed that we are taught by God that when we have a request of God and present it to Him in prayers and supplications, that He says, thank Him for the answer to that prayer before we actually see the answer to that prayer. Thank Him. Knowing that He knows best, knowing that He indeed is in control and He's going to give us those things that are best for us. And so we can thank Him even before we've seen the answer to the prayer. Let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. Not after you've seen the result, but as you're making the request. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him, through Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks. This, is, of course, is where our title for our lesson comes from. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I want you to notice with me that we indeed are to give thanks, but notice how it says, for all things, in everything, whatever you do, in word or deed, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks to who? Give thanks to God, the Father. And we would not have the ability or the right to even thank God if it was not for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do this in the name of, by the authority of, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm impressed by that. I hope that you are. The privilege that we have to thank God. It's a privilege that is granted to us, as going along with the thoughts that Andy presented to us in our preparation for the Lord's Supper, it's a privilege that is presented to us by God through Jesus Christ. It's kind of similar. I'm going to keep that up there for you. I don't know what I just did, but I didn't want to do that. Okay. As I was presenting this, I happened to think back to, you know, it's kind of like what we noticed last week in our lesson on why are we called the Church of Christ? Why do we call ourselves the Southside Church of Christ? If we were in the first century, we might call ourselves the Southside Church because they were all churches of Christ. If there was only one congregation in Bowling Green, we might call ourselves the Bowling Green Church of Christ. But we call ourselves the Southside Church of Christ because we want to identify with the one who died for us, who purchased the church, who is the head of the church, the one who gives us the law of Christ. We noticed all of those points last week, but the one point that, and some people say, well, why don't you call yourself the Church of God? Because that phrase is used too. And it is the Church of God, the Father, but it is the Church of God, the Father, by Jesus Christ. And that point is made for us in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, unto Him, speaking of God, the Father, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. In other words, if it wasn't for Christ Jesus, we couldn't be called out of our sins and into a relationship with Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's all by Christ Jesus. And so that goes along with the fact that we are able to thank God by Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for to Him. In Colossians chapter 3, in verses 11 through 15, it says, "Where there is neither Jew in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Unlike the Mosaic system that separated the children of Israel from all other nations of people, in Christ, all are the same. That's what he's saying here. "Therefore, as elect of God, as those who are saved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful." I want to particularly notice with you that he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. What's he, in context, he's talking about to the church at Colossae, y'all need to come together. In Christ, you're not Jew and Gentile. You're not barbarians and Scythian. You're not slave and free. You need to come together. And the division that you once felt, the prejudices that you once held towards one another, you need to put them aside. And the injustices that you did to one another, you need to repent of those, ask for forgiveness, and grant forgiveness. That's what he's saying. If you have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Not division, but unity. Peace. Peace that is provided by God. Peace that is provided as you live in agreement with God. And be thankful. You know, as I read that list and what we're being encouraged to do here, I've just always stopped to consider, why would he end that with be thankful? I mean, he's trying to say, church, congregation, you need to come together. Be at peace with one another. But he ends it by saying, and be thankful. Why would that be? Well, let me submit to you what I think it might be, because I think that thankfulness, gratitude, fosters humility and all the other characteristics up there as well. Now, when we're thankful to God that He has made peace between Him and us possible and peace with one another possible, it humbles us and leads us to be more like Him, motivates us to be more like Him, to put on tender mercy and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Thankfulness leads us and motivates us to develop that character. So we need to realize that when we are achieving those characteristics, that we are achieving them because of our dedication to God and His instruction to us as to how to do these things. And our life is made so much better because we have developed these characteristics. Something, indeed, to be thankful for. I want to submit to you, there's many, but for the sake of time, I want to submit to you that there are two golden keys to a thankful spirit. The first is, count your blessings and not your troubles. And I have there in parentheses, mark history by its joys rather than its heartaches. We have a tendency to take major milestones in our life and mark them and put them on a calendar. And one of those major milestones is usually the death of a loved one, someone who's very close to us and has been and influenced us perhaps our whole lives. The day of their death is a significant day. The time of the week of that passing and the months that come thereafter are full of sorrow. Their loss is felt for the rest of our lives. Other tragedies perhaps happen in our lives. We might have an accident that might alter the way that we live. So many milestones of our life are marked by tragedies and heartaches. And it's hard to be thankful for those. But I submit to you that one of the keys to a thankful spirit is to count your blessings rather than your troubles. I can remember significant days to me that brought joy to me when I saw a loved one do a particular thing, and those memories are still with me, but I don't remember the date that it happened. Satan would like to focus our attention on all of our troubles and all of our tragedies and like to dissuade us and try to convince us by them that God doesn't care about us, but we know different. God teaches us about troubles and tribulations and trials and how that as we endure them in faith, that our faith grows stronger and our relationship with Him grows closer. But remember the prayers that you offered and the answer to prayers that you have seen. Remember things that have happened in your life because you prayed for them, believing, and they happened when there's no other explanation as to why they happened other than God answered that prayer providentially. Remember those things and be thankful. Don't just rejoice. Certainly rejoice, but be thankful. Another golden key to thankfulness is to be thankful for what you have rather than fretting about what you don't have. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8 says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out of it. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Two obvious statements. We came into this world with nothing but our parents. And some people didn't even come into this world with both of their parents. And he says, and it's just as certain that when you leave, you're not taking anything with you. So as you're living this life and enjoying the blessings of this life, be content with the blessings as you have them. Easier said than done, isn't it? Because Because we get to looking around and commercials try to convince us that because we don't have this and that or whatever, that we can't be happy until we have this or that. One of the keys to happiness and one of the keys to thankfulness is being content with what you have. Being thankful for what you have. We've made the observation, would you be happy if all you had was food when you get hungry? Not that you have it in the cabinet or in the refrigerator. Well, next time you get hungry, you're going to have something to eat. And the clothes on your back. Could you be content with that? And be thankful for it. But that is literally what he's saying. We also have... Would you turn that off, please? We also have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have more than food and raiment. We always have our Lord and our relationship with God. I want you to notice also 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul, and I want you to turn there right now. I want you to bear with me here for a little bit. Paul is talking about how that he and the other apostles have suffered many things for the gospel's sake. That the gospel came to Corinth through many tribulations by the preachers who brought it. He makes a statement up there. He says that, and he gives all the credit, of course, for salvation to Christ and the gospel of Christ. And he goes on to say, we have this treasure of salvation in earthen vessels. We are the earthen vessels. Not only is he talking about himself and the other apostles and other preachers, he's also talking about the church in general and how that we all are earthen vessels to carry this blessed gift of salvation to others. And so you come down here to verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and it says, all things are for your sakes. All the things that we have suffered, all the things that we do, all these things that have been established, all the teaching, it's all for your sake. It's not for our sake and for our glory. It's for your sake. That grace, having spread throughout many, may cause blank to abound to the glory of God. Now let's just suppose that was blank. That as they went back to those letters and they found those letters and they are translating them from the original to and making copies and all those kinds of things, that somehow that word wasn't there. What do you think would have been there? He says that the gospel came to us. It was placed in us, earthen vessels, to take to others. And we suffered for the cause of it. It's all for your sakes, so that you might know the grace of God. And you, having known the grace of God, are able to spread it to many and may cause something to abound. I mean, the first thing that would come to my mind would be salvation. But that's not the word. The word is thanksgiving. That it may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. That people would hear the message of salvation that is available in Jesus Christ, that they would obey it and embrace it and live the abundant life to the glory of God, and they would be thankful to God for the opportunity to live to the glory of God. Thankful for the grace of God. the favor of God, that he would provide a means of salvation for man to be saved in his Son, Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks. Most importantly, in everything, give thanks for your salvation. What shall I render unto Jehovah for all his benefits towards me? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 116 and verse 12. You know, we're coming up on that so-called Christmas season, and one of the songs that you hear from time to time is The Little Drummer Boy. You know, what am I going to bring the baby Jesus? And he said, all I know how to do and all I can do is play my drum. Is it up to us to determine what to render to Jehovah for all of his benefits? Is it up to us to say, this is what I will do? Or as we humble ourselves before him, has he not told us what he will accept and what he expects in our expressions of thanksgiving? He expects us to revere him and to keep his commandments, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. This is the whole purpose of man. He expects us to obey him. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be damned. You know, we're all concerned about the coronavirus. We're all afraid that somebody's going to die when the percentage of people that die from this have always been very, very, very small. And it's even smaller now with a lot of the treatments and so forth that we have available to us. But everybody's concerned about dying. Understandable. How many people are concerned about what's going to happen after they die? How many people are concerned whether they are going to be condemned or saved? He that believes, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, he said, except you repent, you will perish. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be damned. And people have said, well, it doesn't say he that does not believe and is not baptized. Well, why would he? If you don't believe, why would you be baptized? But if it makes it any easier for you, we can switch these phrases around and not take anything away from what Jesus said. He told his apostles to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that does not believe will be damned. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Now you either have or you have not obeyed him. You might believe in him. You might even thank him for the general blessings of life that you enjoy. But Jesus cannot make it any plainer. You will not be saved until you repent, confess, and are baptized for the remission of your sins. And then John, he would go on to say in John chapter 8, he told those who believed on him to abide in his word, and you will be my true disciples, and you will know the truth. As those on the day of Pentecost and thereafter continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. As Romans chapter 6 teaches us to rise from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life as we practice the doctrine of Christ. What shall I render unto Jehovah? Obedience, and thereby glory to Him. We should be faithful. Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2, very familiar passage to us, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's not your body. Your body and everything about you as a child of God belongs to God. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm not living for myself anymore. Christ lives in me. I live to glorify Him. And the life which I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What? How should I express my gratitude to God? Live by faith of the Son of God. It's as simple as that. It is as rewarding as that. And as you live by faith in the Son of God, in everything you do, everything you say, do all to the glory of God, give thanks to God. That you're able to do that, that He's taught you to do that. Give thanks to God that you're participating in the abundant life that is in Christ Jesus here. And you will participate in eternal life in the presence of God and the heavenly host hereafter. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation in any way, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Everything is prepared. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?